Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Soul Talk. This is Leora Mandel. I'll be joined with Rabbi David Aaron after the break. Here is a fundamental question that I would imagine at some point you have thought about and struggled with. Is evil inherent? Is it inherent within people? Is it inherent within the world? I think we can all acknowledge very clearly that there's a tremendous amount of evil in the world. There's evil actions, evil activities. There is an evil nature to the human, to human nature. The question is it inherent? Is it built into a person that some people just are, that's the path they're going to go down? Whether we say it's nature or nurture, genetically, they're wired towards a more destructive side of their personalities and their nature. Is it maybe also circumstantial? And you put the combination of a person who more naturally is attracted towards negativity, destructiveness, evil, gets a rise out of it, and is born into an environment that feeds that, you would say, is there any hope for such a person? Or is it all really, like, is there free will? Does a person really have a choice, even if their nature might be more towards, let's say, having a temper or towards getting a rise out of having, you know, putting other people down to be, you know, risen up? Is there still free will, and therefore a person is completely responsible for the evil or the choices that they make in life? And this question, I think, also exists on a macro scale. Evil within the world at large, is all evil a result of people and choices that we've made, or individuals, or on a group level? Or is there some aspect, or is there truth that part of creation includes this aspect of what we'd call evil, wickedness, destructive forces? We see there's definitely destructive forces in nature. Nature is all about rebirth and regrowth, but there's also this aspect of there's a certain power and destructiveness inherent within nature. Is that true, that evil is inherent within nature? And then this brings us to the question of how do we relate to God, who's all loving and all kind and all giving? God is a loving creator, our Father in heaven. We refer to him as, when not in a loving sense. So when we talk about evil within individuals and evil within the world, how does this affect our understanding of God? Does God create evil? Does God allow evil to take place? Obviously, God is aware of what's happening in the world. Why doesn't he stop it? Why doesn't he put a lid on it and say, okay, up to this point, this has gone too far, even if people have choices or people are going to inflict evil on others and on the world? So these are huge questions that I want to get perspective on and address with the rabbi when we return. Soul Talk, Rabbi David Aaron and Leora Mandel.
Israel is located in one of the most volatile areas in the world. Israel is an island of stability in a sea of war and unrest. In the midst of this turmoil, Israel stands out as a beacon of order and human progress. Each week we update you on what's happening in this, the Jewish state, a true light unto the nations. This is Jay Shapiro. Join me every Thursday on Israel News Talk Radio.
Rabbi Aaron, there's a famous musical, and there's a line in particular from that musical that I have been thinking about recently. The musical is Wicked, and there's a question that is asked, are people born wicked, or do they have wickedness thrust upon them? And it's a very interesting question, because as much as I'd like to hope that we all start out, so to speak, as a clean slate, and we make choices that each choice we make determines what direction we go in. On the other hand, there definitely seem to be certain temperaments, certain people that start out in life already with certain tendencies, almost built in, even if it's not from the time that they're very little, but tendencies that are attract them towards destructive elements of life, or certain personality traits that definitely more easily lead them into a bad crowd, which would then make making more positive, good decisions in life more challenging. And people that just seem not to have those traits, those interests, those attractions, it's not built into them, or they're also even circumstantially. Some people seem to already start out in life with such a disadvantage, we wonder, is there any opportunity for them to make positive, good choices? And other people that start out in life with so many advantages towards developing to a healthy, good, balanced person. So the combination, especially of nature and nurture. So how do we understand this aspect of, are we all born totally as a clean slate, and or is there some aspect of some people really already start out with more challenges than others innately and circumstantially?
Yes, well, the Talmud says very forthright that we are not born evil. There's actually a teaching that says that there's an angel that takes the seed of before a child is born and asks God, you know, will this seed, this child be wise or not wise? And all these different questions, but the angel does not ask whether the seed will be righteous person or an evil person, because that is not determined at all. And so, you know, our sages tell us that we can all be as great as Moses. Now, how could that be when we're taught that there was never a prophet and there never will be a prophet as great as Moses? Is not referring to being as great as Moses as a prophet, but being as great as Moses as a devoted servant to God, devoted to serving to bring more good to the world. And everybody can bring good to the world. Now, it's true that some people, and many people, have inclinations. We all come into this world with what's called a inclination for evil, and we all have different. Some people, they've got this craving for money. Some people for fame. Some people for power. And it is really something that you're born with, that craving. In fact, there's a story in the Talmud where a woman is told by an astrologer that her son is going to be a thief. And she said, well, I'm going to put a head covering on him to always remind him of God above him. And that's how she actually helped him overcome this inclination for theft. So a person is born with inclinations that are negative, but we have the free choice to overcome it and find various strategies how to cope with it.
So from the Torah perspective, then, any inclination a person has, even to a more negative, destructive side of life, they also are always given the strength or the opportunity, the skills and the willpower to overcome, and not, meaning there really is free choice even within that challenge and that attraction?
Yes, absolutely. But the question is, what do they need to do? In other words, it's not just to simply keep that inclination at bay and live in repression. There's something positive about this inclination. You know, for instance, in the story that we recently studied about Isaac wanting to give a blessing to Esau, and Yaakov comes in and he pretends that he is Esau, and Isaac blesses Jacob thinking he's Esau. And when Esau comes back and says, Dad, I brought you that hunting that you asked of me, please bless me. And he says, wait a second, who are you? Who was that man before? And then he confirms, and whoever that man was, may he be blessed. And he says to Esau, your brother came with deception and took your blessing. So one of the understandings of that verse is your blessing was your ability to deceive. You could have used that ability to deceive in very holy ways, like you could have been a spy. You could have, you know, like every negative inclination can be channeled for goodness. It's like the Talmud says that a person who's born at the time of Mars, whatever that means, but the Talmud is talking about astrology, such a person will be bloodthirsty. That they're just going to be born bloodthirsty. Now, is there anything wrong with being bloodthirsty? Just depends what you do with it. You know, some people, they sadly do pursue a career in murder, but others pursue a career in surgery. And they are, you know, they are quite involved with drawing blood, but for healing and not for for hurting. So every inclination that we have has the potential. You know, for instance, some people are born with a disposition to anger. You know, I remember I was dating this girl. You know, I'm a redhead. I don't know how many people listening to this program know I'm a redhead. I'm a redhead, and I was dating this girl, and she said that her rabbi said, be careful of redheads. They have a temper. And I got so furious at her because I don't have a temper. I'm just joking. And so, you know, like people have an inclination. But what do you do with that inclination? Anger is not a bad thing. Just what do you use it for? I mean, people that can't get angry at evil are not going to do something about evil. And so anger in itself isn't bad. It's like, is a knife bad? A knife doesn't have to be bad. And so that's why it's true that we're born with an evil inclination. But our sages point out that the even in terms of the inclinations, we have what's called the Yetzer Tov, the good inclination. And then we have something called Yetzer Hara, which means the inclination towards evil. It's not, we didn't say it was Yetzer Hatov, it was Yetzer Tov, which means the inclination itself is inherently good. Yetzer Hara means the inclination is not inherently bad. It just has a, it just has a tendency that makes it more susceptible to bad, for bad, but it's not bad, just like fire. Fire is a lot more dangerous than water. I mean, water can certainly cause damage, but if I drop a drop of water in a forest, it's not gonna do any harm. Drop a match in a forest, you could talk about acres and acres of land being burnt up by one match. But does that make fire bad? No, it makes it volatile. It makes it something that is dangerous but could be equally powerful and helpful when applied in the right way.
Hmm. You know, the idea of temperament being like fire, that depending on how it's used makes all the difference in if it's giving life by warming people in a cold day or being destructive. And I like that. I really, really like that in terms of understanding this concept of the Yetzer Hara, especially. My question, I guess this is $1 million question now, especially having this understanding gives us, I think, more insight into ourselves and our own, everyone has their own Yetzer, their own inclination. And especially if you're a parent raising children and you sometimes see when a child's young, certain tendencies and temperaments, how do we channel it though, so that the fire can warm and can give life instead of be destructive, and all of these inclinations that could be so destructive if they're not channeled the right way?
Right. Well, first of all, I love these $1 million questions because nobody has ever paid me $1 million for my answer.
Oh.
But yes, I mean, we do see this in the story of Esav and Yaakov. You know, these our sages actually do say that Isaac and Rivka made a mistake. They gave these two boys the same education. When one was clearly, you know, a guy that was an extrovert and out there in the field, a hunter, and the other one was more a scholastic boy that sits in tents and learns. I actually heard a lecture from a fellow who presented a pretty good case that Esav was a classic ADHD kid. And he's not the kind of kid that's going to sit and learn. And we need to realize that. And so it is a mistake when parents give their children the same education, because it doesn't, you know, it just doesn't work. You have to educate a kid according to their way. If you have a kid that is, has a very outgoing kind of a personality, and then you have to find something for them that's going to release that. You know, Carl Jung had very strong criticism against Christianity and believed that the repression that Christianity had towards the shadow, towards the dark side of man, is why it exploded into World War, because man has got this lion inside that has been in this cage for so long, and You know, and that's not the Jewish way. The Jewish way is you've got to, so to speak, throw a doggy a bone. And you have to find a way to channel your inclination towards, you know, bad, towards destruction, and find a way to use that in a very productive way. So
I guess that's the big question I want to ask you when you return is, you know, maybe I recognize within myself that I have an inclination towards something that's maybe very destructive. And it just seems like it's just almost like a compulsion. I keep going there, even though in my head I may not want to. How do I channel it so that I can't say get rid of it, but how do I effectively channel it? When we return, Soul Talk, Rabbi David Aaron and Leora Mandel.
The Tamar Yonah Show.
Tamar, she's sassy.
She's smart.
She's funny.
But she's also a real Jewish mother.
Hi, everybody. I'm Tamar Yonah. And yes, I can be all of those things, but at Israel News Talk Radio, I'm here to bring you the news stories and guests that you may not hear anywhere else. Join me live on air Sundays, Mondays, and Tuesdays for the most unique and bold talk radio in Israel.
The Tamar Yonah Show.
Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Did you know this psalm and many others were composed by a Jewish shepherd and musician who later became a king? Would you like to know some of the inner meanings of psalms to help you connect with God and strengthen your soul? An exciting and easy-to-read book is now available, which will help you do just that. Software for the Soul, Psalms for Everyone, available on Kindle, Audible, and Amazon.com. Software for the Soul.
Hello and welcome back to Soul Talk, Leora Mandel, talking with Rabbi David Aaron about such a fundamental concept, because the way we understand this, I think, is so important. I'm asking the rabbi, how do we understand, are we born wicked? Are some of us just born with certain inherent evil, or is it something that ultimately we choose? And Rabbi, you're explaining that no one is born evil. We have inclinations towards negative things, towards even destructive things, but we have free choice. We can overcome it. And just as if you're explaining fire, it can be destructive if it's used in the wrong way, but it also is a source of we need it to live. And it's a source of warmth and can save lives too. So how we channel ourselves, a knife can be used to kill, it can be used to heal. And I really, those analogies are so helpful in understanding this. But now I'm asking, if I do recognize within myself a certain inclination, how do I go about effectively channeling it, especially if I'm already using it in a negative way?
Well, it's kind of hard to give an answer theoretically because there wouldn't be one answer that fits all. Mm. What we'd have to do is we'd have to find some kind of activity that plays well in terms of, you know, let's say you have a kid that's very aggressive. Okay, so maybe we should put this kid in a course for judo or for karate, so he's got some way to kind of release this aggression, but in a focused way, in a sport that and he's using it in that way. You know, as I mentioned before about the Talmud, a guy who's got a bloodthirsty personality, well, so let's get him into, you know, surgery and have him become a doctor. But find some way of an outlet. And, you know, before you said that, we have the choice and the ability to overcome it. But that's not really what I was saying. You don't have to overcome it. You have to direct it and apply it. The feeling that I have to overcome an inclination is part of what's feeding it. Because what we resist persists. But if we don't resist it, but we direct it and we find a way to direct it, I mean, you could have a kid who really needs to be outside. The beautiful, thank God, in Israel, there are a number of creative learning formats. And so there's a yeshiva that is an agricultural yeshiva, you know, that's a school for Torah learning, and the boys work on a farm in the mornings, and they take care of a farm completely, and then they have, you know, numerous hours of study of Torah throughout the day, But these are not boys that could be studying, you know, all day long. And so thank God there's an environment for that kind of a kid. I know one of my children, he was having a hard time focusing, and someone suggested that horseback riding would be a great, you know, outlet for him. And it was amazing. It was incredible. And now he himself is a therapist that uses horseback riding to help kids who don't have confidence. You put a kid that doesn't have confidence on a horse, and now this huge beast is in your hands, you know, that's really helpful. You know, we have to find ways to release and use whatever energy God gave us. You know, there's a beautiful story about a fellow that went, and I don't know if I mentioned this last time, because I recently mentioned it to somebody, that there's a story about a wise man. And a fellow comes to the wise man, he says, "What's the secret to happiness and a fulfilled life?" And he said, "Wood, wires, and nails." "Well, contemplate that, and that's the secret." So he contemplated that and couldn't figure out the riddle, and he forgot about it. And about 10 years later, he heard some beautiful guitar music outside his window. And it was so enchanting, he decided to go see who's playing. So he followed his ears a little bit down the street, and there was a guy in the park under the moonlight playing a guitar. So he sat there just enjoying the music, and then suddenly in his head, he heard wood, wires, and nails. And he realized the secret of life. You see, with wood, wires, and nails, you could create a guitar. But with wood, wires, and nails, you could create a weapon. There's nothing wrong with wood, wires, or nails. There's nothing wrong with anybody in the world. It's just how we structure the character traits that we have. You know, what has to kind of take lead? What has to be more subordinate to another character trait? But, you know, some people, we have to find like the right structure and assembly of the various character traits of a human being.
What's so powerful about what you're sharing is, I think, especially if when, you know, everyone has this Yetzer, this inclination, and some people's are definitely stronger in certain directions. Like, again, as you're saying, with the knife and the fire, maybe there's an aspect of a person that has that element. And if it's being used in a destructive way, we can start being hard on ourselves, saying, maybe I'm just an evil person. I'm just bad. But what you're explaining is there is no inherent evil. There's no inherently bad person. Maybe I had a certain tendency and a certain inclination, and with it, I've made bad choices until now. But the fact that I'm not a bad person and I'm not evil inherently means I can start figuring out, okay, this is my nature. A person who, let's say, always loses their temper and they have a short fuse. This has been my nature, but I'm not going to, this isn't me. I can also how do I channel this into a constructive, productive, focused, you know, using it for the good. And I think what you're sharing here and this understanding is so important for us to recognize no one is bad. I am not a bad person, but if I'm doing certain bad things or letting my inclination lead me in a bad direction, I have to figure out how to channel it in a constructive way, restructure myself, my life, and my tendencies towards channeling them towards the good.
Yes. And we have to start off with an attitude that I've come to this world to serve good. And to serve good is uniquely through choosing good. And, you know, when you think about it, what's a richer manifestation of good? Let's say you have a person who is good, was good, always will be good, cannot but be good. They're kind and they're compulsively kind. I mean, are they doing kind acts? Yes, they are, but they're compulsive about it. But okay, they're kind. But let's say you got a person that has an inclination to be stingy, and they nonetheless choose to be kind. Which kindness would we consider to be a richer manifestation of kindness? Someone who is uncontrollably and obsessively kind, or somebody who really wasn't naturally inclining to that, but chose to do that? I think we would all agree that when a person chooses kindness, even though they had maybe resistance to it, then that's a very beautiful kind of kindness. That's what we're doing in this world. You know, we have these inclinations that that creates this resistance and challenges us so that we will choose kindness. And so a person shouldn't be discouraged, like, why do I have, you know, some kind of energy within me discouraging me from doing good? Because when you choose to do good nonetheless, you have actually brought an even higher, richer form of goodness into the world.
You know, it's so powerful, because I'm thinking, let's say, okay, thank God I'm in a situation where if something's not mine, I don't have a temptation to steal it. And so therefore, my not stealing it doesn't really mean that much, because there's no real temptation that I have not to take something that's not mine. But for someone who has that inclination, they really have a strong inclination of, it's so easy to take this, why not just take it? No one's going to notice it's missing. And they overcome that and don't take it. That act of overcoming makes that not taking so significant. And even though both of us didn't take that, let's say, $100 sitting out in someone's drawer that they probably wouldn't have seen who took it or noticed it was missing, for me, not taking it doesn't mean much, because there wasn't an inclination towards taking it. Whereas for the person who had that inclination, that same action or lack thereof is so significant. So that is a very, very interesting point.
Right. I heard this idea in the name of the German philosopher Friedrich Nietzsche, but it actually aligns very beautifully with the teachings of Torah, which is, the question is, are you moral or are you actually a coward? Meaning, it could be that the reason why you're a nice person is you're too scared to be not nice, you know, and you're afraid that if you're not nice, people are going to hurt you back. So it's not that you're really genuinely moral, you're just a chicken. But if you have the ability to be evil but choose to be good, that's amazing. But if you don't have the ability to be evil and you choose good, well then you're just chicken. You're just choosing good to protect yourself from anybody else hurting you. And we don't want to be good because we're afraid of somebody. We want to be good because it's so good to be good. And if we have the capacity to be bad, but we choose to be good. And so that's another aspect to it, that the inclination towards evil is what's actually making the inclination towards good even more potent and even more powerful. That I'm good not because I had to be good, but because I chose to be good, because I could have easily gone the other way too, but I didn't. So, so that's the question. Are you really moral or are you simply a chicken?
It's a very powerful question to ask in any given situation that we find ourselves. And it's an uncomfortable question, but an important question to ask. But, you know, what you're explaining here, too, really shows that this concept of, I would like to think it's nice just to have a strong Yetzer Tov. But what you're pointing out is, without this Yetzer Hara, this inclination towards, so to speak, evil, then it doesn't mean all that much when I make good, positive choices, because there's no resistance. Without anything making me resist choosing good, then that choice of good doesn't necessarily mean so much. So it's a very powerful thing to, and that even adds to the point that you were saying before, that it's not a bad inclination, because it's like fire. If I use it in the wrong way, it's bad. But if anything, it also shows that it gives significance to any good choices that we make. And that also is a very powerful understanding of, no one is inherently bad. It gives us opportunities to make our good choices mean even more. When we return, Soul Talk, Rabbi David Aaron and Leora Mandel.
In a time where feelings have become fact, where rational thought and common sense has disappeared, one man stands above it all.
I'm Howie Sobiker, your political hitman.
Local Hitman airs every Tuesday at 11:59 p.m. North American time, 7 a.m. Israeli time, only on Israel News Talk Radio.
Are you interested in transforming your life, drawing closer to the Creator, and uncovering the deeper meanings and hidden treasures in the Hebrew Bible?
Then join me, Rav Yitzhak Michelson.
And me, William Hall.
On The Science of Kabbalah, where we are seeking to narrow the gap between what we understand of our physical and spiritual worlds. So make sure to tune in every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Israel time, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, here on Israel News Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome back to Soul Talk, Lira Mandel with Rabbi David Aaron, getting a real understanding about the fact that we've now clarified that there's no person that is evil inherently, that we all have free will and we can make choices in our life. And it's sometimes the inclination we have towards making destructive and wrong choices actually gives significance to making positive and good choices. Otherwise, it doesn't mean as much if I chose something positive. And even something that might inherently seem like it can be destructive, certain tendencies and certain natures, that it's all about choosing to channel it the right way. And that's a choice that we have to make. A question I want to ask that sort of, I think, develops from this. We're saying there's no evil person, but is there inherent evil that exists in the world? Or would we say that all evil that we see in the world is all a result of people's free will choices?
Well, it does say that God created evil, but he created evil so that we could have a choice to say no to it. But again, the evil, it's an interesting kind of a Zohar from the Kabbalah. The Kabbalah says that that evil in the world is like a prostitute that was hired by a king to seduce his son. Now, why would the king hire a prostitute to seduce the son? To give the son an opportunity to realize and demonstrate his commitment to his father. And not necessarily that the father doesn't know that he could do it. It's for the son to see, look, to realize who he is. Meaning in our tradition, even evil isn't actually evil. It's here to serve good by being by forcing the situation or creating a situation where you can choose good, because a goodness that is chosen is a supreme kind of goodness. When people are naturally good, that's great, that's very nice, that's good. But to be very good, and that's actually what it says in the Torah, it says that God looked at the world and he saw that it was very good. So our sages say good is the good inclination, very good is the bad inclination. How could very good be the bad inclination? Because the bad inclination makes good very good. Because now that I'm capable of saying no, or capable of doing wrong, but I choose to do right, then that right is an even more superior manifestation of right. So even evil, the Zohar says it's like sour and sweet. Zohar, again, is the Kabbalah. And what makes the sweet sweet? It's the sour. If you never tasted the sour, you'd never know that you have, you'd never know what the taste of sweet is. So the contrast is there in serving, is there to serve, to enhance the experience or enable the experience of sweetness.
So this, I'm wrapping my mind around this explanation, and it makes sense because it's true. You can't have a sense of good if there isn't bad. You can't have a sense of sweetness if there isn't good. But at the same time, I know that many people struggle with, we talk about that God is all loving and all caring. And then when there's this, okay, there is evil that comes when people make free will choices, God allows them to, and that puts a certain amount of evil in the world. But when you're talking here that there still is this aspect of there needs to be inherent within the creation of the world this other force so that we can make choices against it. But it's all coming from from God who loves us. So when we're struggling with this aspect of if God is loving and caring, but I like the example of the father. My father, I think he loves me. Why is he putting me through pain? Why is he allowing evil to exist? Why doesn't he just stop these terrible things from happening? And this is something that people really do struggle with on a very core level, especially in our relationship with connecting to God in a loving way as the loving father.
Well, it's like being in the Olympics. Your coach is going to put you through some very difficult exercises. He's going to put in front of you obstacles that will demand you to jump higher. And if you didn't know that this was your coach and he was preparing you to win the gold medal, you'd think that this guy is just torturing you. And so, but when you realize that your coach loves you and he's preparing you for greatness, then you understand that the challenges that he puts in front of you and the pain that you go through in coping with these challenges is actually the no pain, no gain principle.
So I guess when I think of evil, I think it's inherently bad. And what I think you're explaining here is there isn't anything that's inherently bad. It's our perspective on it. Because if I see something that seems to be inherently bad, but I say, wait, this is my opportunity to choose to be good, to choose to fight against it, and there'd be nothing to fight against if there was no evil in the world. Or there's an inclination in me that seems like it's destructive, but it's not inherently bad. It's my opportunity to try to rise above it and figure out how to channel this so that it can actually serve me instead of, make me a, and so I can be master over it instead of it enslaving me. So there really isn't, I'm trying to clarify, there isn't such a thing as evil meaning inherently bad. It's all about these inclination towards opportunities to, like, what am I going to do with it? How am I going to respond to it?
Right. It's like a drama, like a movie. There's the antagonist and there's the protagonist. There's the hero and the villain. And the hero needs the villain. Because if there isn't a villain to fight against and rise up and embrace the challenge against the villain, how do you demonstrate heroism? And so there's an interesting scene in one of the Batman movies where Batman has finally got Joker and can finally destroy him forever. And the Joker says to Batman, by the way, I didn't see this, my students told me this, and the Joker says to Batman, "Batman, don't you understand? If you kill me, then you'll no longer be Batman. You can't be Batman without me, because you're a fighter against evil. You need evil to fight against. So I've been doing you a favor. You're Batman because of me."
So then, hold on, and the question of we're all playing a role, meaning the hero has an opportunity. He can choose to be the hero or not, but he has an opportunity to make that choice. Does the villain have the opportunity, like, is he making a choice to be a villain, or is that a role that he's given? I guess that goes back to our question, but it sounds
like... No. There's a role available for, it's like a movie, and in that movie, there's a villain and there's a hero. And then you have actors that are saying, "I'd like to be the villain." You chose to be the villain. Nobody has to be the villain. There's going to be a villain, but you're not forced. Nobody is forced to choose the role of being the villain.
But again, as you're saying, that role does have to exist, because if that role didn't exist,
yes,
then it would give no meaning to the hero.
That's right.
On the other hand, I think I'd almost imagine we'd all choose to play the role of the hero. But as I think about it, there's actors that really like taking on the challenge of playing that role of the villain, because in some sense, it's almost even more challenging of that more complexity of life, of having those. Even the villain usually has some choices where you see he has some moral choice, even within the evil. Am I going to make some small choice of possibly doing good? Or there's usually no villain, you're right, that is completely evil with no free choice and no making any small choices of possibly choosing some good within the evil.
Right.
That is part of what makes life complex. So I think what is so powerful here is that I think, there definitely seem to be people that have already built in, so to speak, more tendencies towards challenge. Something, even the fact that some people genetically are more prone, let's say, towards addiction versus others. Two people can drink alcohol and one will more easily get addicted than the other their whole life. They never have an addiction. They're able to control it more. So there is that aspect of some inborn tendencies that one person might more easily fall into challenge and possible destruction than another person. But what you're saying to an extent, I believe, is that sometimes the more of my tendency towards going in a direction that could be destructive, that means the more power I have to use to do something good. It's a certain energy if I can channel it in the right way.
Yeah, well, the Talmud actually says something pretty amazing. It says the greater the person, the greater their evil inclination. And so you'd think that, what are you talking about? If he's a great person, he doesn't have an evil inclination. But it's not true. Greatness comes by virtue of dealing with and choosing to channel properly your evil inclination.
So in a sense, with the analogy of training for the Olympics and the obstacles that the coach is putting in your path, it's true. If I don't go through obstacles and through challenge, then I'm not going to strengthen myself and I'm not going to reach my full capacity. And so in a sense, it really changes our perspective, because I think sometimes we think, oh, this person has an easy temperament, no major challenges, no raw, you know, personality traits they have to work on. Why can't I be them? But in a sense, it's like a person who says, you know, I'm not, this person has it easy. They're not in the gym right now working out, and they don't go to the gym every single day. But they're not strengthening themselves necessarily either. By having those challenges is what brings out my potential and strength. And if I don't have those challenges, that's going to go undeveloped. That's very true.
Yeah, I've rarely met a deep, person that had a cushy life. You know, the people I've met that are deep and thinking and really contemplating, and they're ambitious. Generally, these are people that went through lots of challenges, and those challenges were opportunities for self-clarification, like, who am I? What's life all about? It's really the Garden of Eden story. I mean, Adam and Eve are in the Garden of Eden, but they really are quite naive and almost like little innocent children. Until the snake challenges them, they're not aware of themselves, really. They're not aware of the nature of their relationship with God. You know, until he says, you know why God doesn't want you to eat from the tree? They weren't even thinking about it. But therefore the oral tradition says that the snake was actually a great servant of God, and he serves by challenging, and challenging enables us to come to a higher level of our character.
Well, this definitely gives a new perspective on challenges, and for all of us who have challenges within our internal selves or within the circumstances of our life, this perspective of recognizing this is all challenge is really an opportunity, really is life-changing. I want to thank you all for joining us, Soul Talk, Rabbi David Aaron and Leora Mandel.
Where can you get the inside news on Israel? At Israel News Talk Radio, we're dedicated to sharing Israel's inside story with the world by providing our listeners with news on Israeli politics, current affairs, and Israeli Jewish culture. The Israel News Talk Radio homepage also provides you, the listener, with useful information at your fingertips, with scrolling news headlines, weather, currency exchange, Shabbat candle lighting times, and so much more. Our radio programming is always accessible and on demand. We operate absolutely free of charge for everyone, everywhere. If you love what we do, partner with us now by becoming an Israel News Talk Radio supporter. With your support, you'll be inscribed on our Israel News Talk Radio Wall of Fame. There's nothing like us in the world. Be part of something great. Israel News Talk Radio, straight talk from Israel.
Howdy, this is Rita from League City, Texas, now living in Israel. And though my heart may have belonged to Texas, it now belongs to Israel and all the fantastic show hosts at Israel News Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Michael Solomon from Kiryat Arba, Israel. And why do I love listening to Israel News Talk Radio? Because I love listening to the interesting interviews they do and their news reporting that most other media sources don't cover.
Hey, this is Nicole Eko from Malmo, Sweden. It gets pretty cold here in Sweden, so I love cuddling up with a warm cup of tea while I listen to Israel News Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody, this is Frank Morris from Tennessee. Me and my dog Buster really love listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.